going to tonight. I'm going to look at a Watchman Evil. I don't do spiritual, man.
Except for
when there's something fun. Except for when there is a point that I want to illustrate, and spiritual man works out with that. I found out some time ago that just reading through spiritual man without any point doesn't work for a lot of people. Maybe it works for some, but it doesn't work for a lot of people. They just read it. But unless what you're reading has some effect and works some change in you, then you're just being entertained. And so I want to look tonight, though, at a book. I want you to look at John 2:14-15. And I'm going to teach out of a book, and if you can see it from here, I don't know if you can or not, but anyway, when Chandra has an opportunity, I'm going to have her. I don't know if she has it downloaded, but I'm going to do an outline and start putting it on the white pages on Zoom so that you'll be able to see it, the outline. Because I don't think you can actually see the board very well, even if I pull it over some. It's kind of hard to see on the screen. But this is Watchman Nee.
You know what I'm saying? You can read it.
This is Watchman Nee, Love Not the World.
Yeah.
And the reason why I had not moved the camera is because my camera is so cheap that when you shift it, in the process of trying to process moving, it locks itself up. So,
okay.
This is a book by Watchman Nee. It's a compilation of some of his other books. It's called Love Not the World. And the reason why I'm going to teach on this for...
And Lake is actually important.
Huh?
If you would move to the right and pull the board over, we can see the whole board.
Okay, I'll just pull the board over.
Right.
I moved to the right.
That way, just a little
bit. That way. I can't. Okay, yeah. I will turn it like that. That's what I have here. Okay, if I zonk out, that's El Nathan's fault. Blame her. How's that? Okay. That better?
It's better. We can see everything except the last word.
Except the last word.
Pleasures.
Perfect.
Okay, good. All right. This is the book I'm going to be teaching out of our own Bible study for a couple of nights, and not long, but I want to talk about something that has a more profound on growing people who grow in God and want to be spiritual than they think. And it's in John, in 1 John chapter 2. He makes a statement that we love to use, and as one person in particular out here talk about it all the time, love not the world.
John.
And John 2 and 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John 2 and 15. First John 2 and 15. Love not the world. Don't be in love with the world, in other words. And one of the things that, I'll just give you a couple of places where you see it, and then we'll talk about it. This is like the introduction to it tonight. I'm not going to read it line by line. Like I said, I'm going to outline it and go. There are a few places where you see that Jesus refers to the world. One of them is when he talks about when the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to convict the world or he's going to show the world of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. In another place, Jesus talks about the world hating him, hating us because it hated him, and so forth and so on. It talks about with Peter when Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He says to Peter, you love the things of the world, thou savorest the things of the world more than the things of God. And then we like to make the, but when we preach and teach, we love to make the world only be sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is a mistake
yes.
we make because maybe, if just maybe, maybe it won't affect anybody, but just maybe, if you start to realize that the world is not just sin, then you'll start to see what attraction the world has for you, and maybe you'll be able to grow and do more things and grow more spiritually, more in God. I like Watchman Nee's commentary on Love Not the World, because he explains a lot of the things that are in the Word of God, and I'm not going to go over anything that's not in the Word of God, and I'm able to tell the difference between the two. I want to start off with just a basic understanding. This is something we absolutely must know. In the Bible, when it talks about the world, it uses the Greek word cosmos, and the Greek word cosmos is, and simply it refers to three different things: the earth, people, and things. Number one, it refers to the material universe or the planet Earth. Some places in the Bible, when it talks about the world, it's talking about the planet itself, throughout the world, talking about the planet itself in various places. In other places, when it talks about the world, it's talking about the people. Love not the world, it's talking about the people.
Yes.
And then its inhabitants. In other places, and there's an A and a B to this, when it talks about the world, it's talking about all the people who are contrary to God. Go back into the world, people who don't love the Lord, people who are against God. That the Bible refers to them as the world. The world hated me, will hate you because the world hated me. And then it's talking in the third place, it talks about the social system of the world. The social system. You are in the world, but not of the world.
Yeah.
Not part of it, the social system. When we talk about being in the world, usually, most of the time, we're just talking about that's worldly.
Mm-hmm.
We always use the word worldly for sin.
Yeah.
We always say if something's worldly, it's sinful.
Yes.
Well, that's not true. There's all that is in the world, John says in one place, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. In other words, he says everything that's in the world can draw you back to these things.
Yes.
And you're drawn by them. But I want everyone to stop seeing the world as just being sin.
Yeah.
Because much of the world you use. I'm going to start off in chapter 1. And I want to just look at some highlights, and I'll try and get this book online so that whenever I'm reading it, if you don't already own it, and some of you probably own it and have read it, and maybe you'll want to read it again. And it talks about when Jesus first starts in the garden, you know, when the Garden of Eden comes about, and the fall of man yields the rulers, you know, he yields to Satan, and Satan becomes a ruler of this world.
Yeah.
And then the society that is set up, or the social system that is set up in the world, really is a social system not of God, but of Satan. And it will draw you to that. It is, and when Jesus comes, he makes the point of saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because on the earth is not ruled by heaven during this time frame. And this is why he always refers to him as the prince of this world and the ruler of this world. Because the people who live on earth are not being ruled by God.
Mm-hmm.
And the systems that are set up, even though they're necessarily, are part of this world.
Mm-hmm.
One point I want to bring out that when I read this book, for the first thing is, let's see if I see it. I want to name some of the things that are in the world. And the reason why we look at it, there is much of the world that is in us that is not sin,
yes,
but it hinders you in God.
Mm.
There's much of the world, there's much of the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life that is in us that is not sin. There's much that you want in the earth that we don't consider sin, but it hinders you in God. He makes the point of saying that politics of the world got to have government.
Yes.
Education, got to have an education. That's of the world. Literature, all the things that we do. Science, and medicine and all that. We have to have all those. But it is of the world.
Yes.
When I go to the hospital, I'm not going through a faith healer. I'm praying that God is with the doctors and all that, and that God's watching over me, but it's not like laying hands and being healed by the Spirit.
Amen.
All the things that we like to see, the aesthetics, art, And when I say art, immediately your mind goes to pictures and statues. And I will be willing to bet that no one that I'm talking to probably lives in a house that's perfectly square in its cubicle and has no design and no flaws, and your walls are just plain, and there's no color in your house, and you don't have curtains, everything in your house is black and white, and so forth and whatnot. No aesthetic value.
Yes.
None of that. And then when we talk about art, you're thinking about just paintings and statues, and but we love to see a lovely building or a beautiful bridge or all these things. Law. Law is another one that's in the world. If we were governed by conscience as we were supposed to do, we wouldn't have law.
Right, yeah.
But since we aren't, we have that. Commerce, which is a big one. Mm-hmm. Commerce. Trading and buying and the stock market and money. And commerce is a big portion of the world. So I don't have nothing to do with the world. Then you have nothing to do with money.
I ain't
never got nothing to do with the world. That means you don't know how to read or write.
Yeah,
that's true. I don't have nothing to do with the world. You never go to the hospital.
Right.
I don't have nothing to do with the world. I am not in the world. You see, the mistake you make is that you think the world just simply means sin.
Sin, yeah. Yes, that's right.
They go back into the world. Just means sin. No. We have to be. We are in this world. We are not of it, but we're in it. And you have to deal with it.
Yes. Right.
Now, the one statement that Watchman Nee makes it up that I really like is, if I can find it real quick. Ultimately, he says in one place, when we touch the thing of the world, and we must touch them, and I'm going to use the word touch because he uses it and I like it. When you go to work every day, your career, you go into the world. You touch the world.
Yes. Right.
When you get your money, you touch the world. When you get an education, you touch the world. When you go to the hospital, you touch the world. We live in a worldly society. When you vote, when you do all the things you do, you touch the world.
Yes.
We cannot live without touching the world.
Right.
It's a part of us. But ultimately, he says, when we touch the things of the world, the question we must ask ourselves always is, how is this thing affecting my relationship with the Father?
Yeah.
In other words, you have to have money. The question is how does it affect your relationship with the Father? We have to have laws. How do they affect your relationship with the Father? We have to have education. So, well, why do I need to hear about this, Bishop Smith, Master Smith? Why do I need to know about this? Because if you really want to know what affects our personalities and how we behave and what we do,
it's the world. Yes.
It's how you view
the world.
It's what you consider in the world. And I'm going to add a couple because he says, Watchman Nee wrote in here, he says, music is the world.
Yes.
Such things that constitute the cosmos or the social system, this third cosmos down here, the social system, the things that we put up with the world. And I'm going to add a couple. You know what I'm going to add? There's also the world.
Church.
Family and friends.
Family and friends, yes.
Family and friends. Yes. I have family, but how does my family affect my relationship with God? I have friends, but how do they affect my relationship with God? And if you say, well, I can do such and such and such and still be in God, I didn't say you couldn't still be in God. I said, how does it affect your relationship with God? There are more people. Elizabeth lives with me, and she knows somehow or another in the last of recent people and money just literally draw me out. I'm so tired of people and money.
Yeah.
Because it runs so deep in decisions that people make. That a lot of us, you're not even aware of how much money drives the very things that you hold dear.
That's true.
People make so many decisions that you think they're spiritual. It ain't about the spirit.
Nope.
A lot of it is about where the money
is. Yes.
How to get the money.
Yep.
Because one of the things you got to have in the world is you got to have money.
Yes.
Because money counts for all things on earth. But you have to ask yourself, how does money affect your relationship with God? Paul wrote to Timothy, and he told Timothy, he said, the love of money is the root of all evil. And Dakes quickly said, well, it's not the root of all evil. No, if you understood what Paul was saying, Paul was not saying that every evil was created by money. He was saying money can bring you to every evil.
Evil, that's right. It will.
Money can bring you to every kind of evil. You can, it can bring you to murder, fornication, you name it. Money can bring it, can bring you to it. If you allow money, money will rule you, and your value system will be everything that someone does is how much does it cost?
Yeah.
What is it? What is it? You know, where you're weighing the balance of where it is. It can be the same thing about education and everything else. You can get to the point where how important is an education to you? Does it serve the purpose of teaching you to read, write, and do skills? Or is it something that is something that defines you?
Yeah.
And where does it stand with you and God? How does it affect your walk in God and where you are in God? How does politics, and in the United States right now, politics is overwhelming people.
Yes, it is.
They are finding out how much more they love politics than God.
Amen. That's
and it. They're trying to bring God into their politics, not knowing that politics is of this world and God is not.
Amen.
There's nothing political about God.
No.
When the Bible says you're supposed to pray for rulers and pray for kings, it is, you know, it's not, we like to say that the Bible says I'm supposed to pray for person X because he's the ruler and he's the king. That's only partially true. The reality is the Bible is saying I'm supposed to pray that out that the people and kings will be godly.
Yes.
But that I'm supposed to pick out somebody I like and pray for them, that's not exactly what it's referring to. It's saying you're supposed to put them in God's hands and allow the Lord to work with them because they were supposed to pray for the king of Babylon, not because he was supposed to be somebody they wanted to live godly, but they wanted God to have rule over him.
Yes.
Act right.
So then when we look at, when Watchman, he talks about it, the love of the world and all that is in the world, we want to make sure we remember the world doesn't refer to, and when the Bible talks about the world, it is never sin. There is sin in the world, but when Jesus talks about them being in the world and not of the world, he's referring to them being still on earth and part of this worldly system that we're in, that we live in every day, that we have to deal with. When he talks about us, in some places, when he talks about the whole world, he's talking about all the earth.
Yes.
The planet itself. And in other places, when he talks about it, he's talking about the people themselves as a whole. Not just those that are contrary to God, but the people as a whole. It went out through the whole world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It means go to all over the earth and to all the people and preach the gospel. If I only allowed the world to refer to sin, then how would he tell, what would he be saying? Go ye into all sin and preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
He does say go into all the world, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
And if he was talking, if the world just meant sin, then he'd be saying, well, go into sin and preach the gospel. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's exactly what he's not saying. Yes. He says go among all the people of the earth.
Yes.
Go every place on earth. Preach the gospel. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. In another place, look at John, not 1 John, but John itself. Gospel of John. John chapter 7, I think it is. Oh, no, 16 and 7. 16 and 7, 16 and 8. And he's talking about the Holy Ghost. And he says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. If we use the word, if the world meant sin here, he'd be saying, he'd be proving sin to be sin.
Yeah.
No, when he comes, he's going to convince and convict the world of sin. And when he comes, he's going to reprove the world of righteousness. He's going to show what is righteous and what is not. And when the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to show what is judgment and what is not. And he's going to do this among the world, and this referring to the people.
Yes.
Referring to the people. Mm-hmm. So when we say to people, you know, they're going back into the world, well, what we're saying is, for the most part, we're always saying they've gone back in sin. What we're really saying is they have allowed the social system of the world or the things of the world to overtake them. And by those things, they have been brought to sin. But the world is there. Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Many of us who have been saved and in the Lord for a long time are very worldly.
Yes.
You know another thing that's in art? Fashion.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I don't love the world. Do you love fashion?
Yes, I do.
Then you love the world.
Yes.
I can preach in my suits. I can too. I didn't say you were overthrown by it, but don't say you don't love the world because you...
Fashion.
That's
fashion.
Right.
Yes.
And fashion is of
the world.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And the more flamboyant you become, the more worldly
you
become.
Yes.
And the more you insist on being in that, the more of this world you are partaker of. Do you love money? Oh, I love money. I just want lots and lots of money. Then you love the world.
Yes.
Then you love the world. Are you overwhelmed by education? You know how some people are professional students, can't get enough, one degree after another?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They just stack them on whatever. It's the world.
Yes.
Say, well, are you saying we can't be saved and do that? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, as Watchman Nee says, even when he says it, and I look at it, you just need to be aware of how it affects your standing in God.
Yes.
How does it move you in God? How does it change? How does it work your mind in God? And someone say, oh, I see so-and-so, and they just... They can be as world as they want. They just still love the Lord and they still full of the Holy Ghost. How little you know them.
Yeah.
The world, you know, when we talk about the things that are of the world and how they creep in, they creep into the soul.
Yes, they do.
You would have never, look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Now we are, as soon as I've, by next week when we come in, we are going to read some pages out of this. We're going to read a few tonight and let it go. But Matthew chapter 16 and 13. Everybody there?
Yes.
When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciple, whom do men say that I am? In other words, he wanted to know whose opinion?
The world.
The world's opinion.
Yes.
Whom the men say that I am, the world's opinion. I want to know what the world is saying. And they say thou, John the Baptist, and some say Elias, and some say Jeremiah, and one of the prophets, and he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Those of you who are in the kingdom of heaven. Those of you who are in the kingdom of heaven, he wants to know, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, you got this from the Holy Spirit. God has given you this.
Yes.
You're a godly person. You're godly. You know who I am. You're in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. And if you're someone who runs around saying Peter has the keys to the kingdom, I'm going to tell you he sure does. And so does everybody else who has the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
The keys to the kingdom is the
gospel.
Yes. Well, Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. Yes, he did. He gave them to everybody else who has the
Spirit.
Gospel.
Gospel. Yes.
Everybody else who has the gospel. And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, and he goes on, shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, he's given unto him the power of the gospel and the Spirit, and to everyone else who will have the gospel.
Yeah.
Not otherwise, none of if only Peter is given the keys, he's the only one who can loose and bind.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
So there's no need of you ever praying and saying, Satan, the Lord rebuke you, or loose this, or I'll bind you in Jesus' name, because you haven't been given the keys.
All right.
Yes. Just Peter.
Yes, yeah. Peter. All right.
Right?
Yes.
So then he says to him, then he goes on, and then he charged his disciples they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth in 21, he began to show them how the disciples, how he must go into Jerusalem and must suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up again the third day. In other words, he's going to be killed by the world, whom the world received not.
Yes.
He came into his own and the world received him not. His own received him not.
Yes.
The world now being who, Chandra? The people who are against God and against Jesus, contrary to God and Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the world.
Yes.
The world hated him. You know, the world hates you because it hated him. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And Jesus turned and said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Now he's referring to the social society of the world. And he's saying, Peter, you are not thinking about God and the things that be in the kingdom of heaven. You're thinking about the things that be in the earth. You're talking about now. What comes out of Peter now? He knows that Jesus is the Christ. He knows he's the Son of God. But he doesn't want him to leave this world.
Yeah.
He doesn't want him to leave this world. He has just put the world in front of God's mission. And he says to him, "You can't do that. We need you here." Now I need to ask you, how many things do you put in front of God's mission?
All right.
And how do they affect you? How do they affect your standing in God? Does money affect what you will do in God? If one was to say to me, "Well, of course money affects what I do in God, because if I don't make much money, I can't pay many tithes," and so forth and so on. That's not the point. The point is where is your love for God versus your money?
Yeah.
Where is your love for God versus the people? And then here again, where is your love for God? And if you notice, when Jesus is tried on all these points, and he's in the world but not of the world, you notice also God allows him to also be tried by his relationship with his family. His brothers never do believe in him until after the resurrection.
Yeah.
They even say to him one time, "Why don't you go down to Jerusalem and preach?" Because they're saying to themselves, You know how we do when we're trying to go to somebody and we're hunching one another? "Why don't you come down to Jerusalem and preach? You're so great, got all this power. Why don't you come down to Jerusalem and preach?" And Jesus knew they don't believe in me. And he said, "I'll be down there, but I'll be down there later. Not going to go down, and because I don't have anything to prove to the world." You know, he told him, he said, "The prince of this world cometh, but of this world, the ruler of this world's coming. But he doesn't have anything to me." When are you going to get to the point where you don't have anything to prove to this world? I look at us as a church. I look at all the elders and bishops and pastors and all those. And I say to myself, why do you want to sit up front? Who are you proving yourself to? God knows you're preaching no matter where you sit.
That's right.
Say, "Well, it's protocol." Okay, it's protocol, and we do it because of protocol, but you ought not get to a point where you love it so much until you demand a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If there's no room for you, you ought not have a problem with it.
Right.
If there are only 20 people in the church and 15 of them are ministers, there ought not be 5 people in the audience and 15 people sitting up front, and I've seen that.
If I come into
a room and there are not very many people there, I'm not going to load up. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to load up this pulpit for the sake of that. Somebody needs to be in the audience. And I don't lose anything by not being up there.
It
doesn't make me.
That's right.
It, you know, let me tell you this. You cheapen the calling of God. Whenever you have the mindset that everybody must recognize that you are a preacher or a teacher or you are this or that, so that you correct people and remind them that you're Bishop so-and-so.
Right, yeah.
What should really happen is that the Spirit of God who pours out a man's gift make room for him.
Yes.
It's not just your gift making room for you in order to be able to preach or to teach. There's a time when God makes room for you to be revealed as being a bishop. You ever notice Jesus doesn't want anybody to know who he is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all right.
If the Holy Ghost doesn't tell you who I am, I don't need you to go out and put up banners.
Right.
Just let me ease on into town and let all the rest of them do all their marches and everything else they're doing, and I'm going to come on down because I know what power I have, and I know who I belong to, and when it's time, I'm going to be lifted up and everybody's going to know who I am.
Right, yeah.
But I'm willing to wait until it is time for me to be lifted up. And I don't want to get in front of the Father. I know not only that, but I know better than to do that. And I know that the Father's right. It's not a time for everybody to be yelling my name.
Yes.
It's not, you know, this is how Jesus feels out about it. It's not a time for everybody to know that, you know, who I am and what I'm doing, because there's going to come a time when it's stated who I am and I'm not going to be received.
Yes.
But when I'm lifted up, when I'm lifted up, everyone, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw everyone to me. When I'm resurrected, everybody's going to come.
Yes.
And we need to learn that same thing. But the world propels us.
Yes.
Yep. And it's called the pride of life.
Yes.
I want everybody to know I'm a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to know I'm an elder.
Yes.
I want everybody to know that I speak in tongues. I want everybody to know that I'm a bishop. I want everybody. So why are you ashamed of it? You see, the devil will make it. See, the devil will come and he'll make a liar out of you. You're not. You. It has no. Has nothing to do with being ashamed.
That's right.
Has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with a man's gift making room for him.
All right.
In other words, God making room for you. I was at my aunt's funeral the other day, and one of my aunt's nieces, who herself is an elder, she called. She says, "Well, we're gonna have, you know, we're making a nephews and all them pallbearers and all those." And she says, "Would you be a pallbearer?" I said, "Sure." She says, "Well, I'm looking for I'm going to try to make the older men honorary pallbearers." I said, "Well, look, I'm 71, and, you know, what should cut off for older men?" and so Les said, "Well, you don't look like you're 71. I said, "Hey, no problem." So she said, "Well, do you want to be a honorary pallbearer or just a regular pallbearer?" I said, "Whatever you want.
Well, yeah, that's right.
If you have enough to young men, fine. If you don't, hey, I ain't on the cane. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen."
So my brother-in-law asked me, one of the other brother-in-laws asked me, he said, "Well, are you on the program?" I said, "No, I'm going to be a pallbearer."
Yeah.
I didn't say just a pallbearer. I'm on there as a pallbearer.
Pallbearer.
You don't have any words? No, I don't have any words. So I went in and sat down, and I met Bishop Baltimore, which is her brother. And he's on the program because he's her brother, and he's talking, and did very well.
Yes,
I really enjoyed it. And they're all in their bishop's attire and everything, and I'm sitting behind him, and he says to me, "I remember you." I said, "Yeah." And we were talking, and he says, "Well, you're a bishop." I said, "Yes, I am." He says, "Aren't you on the program?" I said, "No, I'm not." And it didn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
You know, as a matter of fact, he asked me, you know, I wasn't going around, "Well, I'm Bishop so-and-so." I'm like, listen, you got to back that up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, you got to back that up. You throw that out there. You gotta back that up
with some
anointing and some Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And it's not that I don't have them. It's just that I'm like Jesus. You know, when he kept telling people, they kept saying, "Hey, here comes Jesus." He kept saying, whoa, it's not time yet.
Yeah.
Even at marriage of Cana in Galilee, you know, Mary said, "Hey, here's a miracle worker." Jesus said, "Not yet."
Yeah.
Because he had to. Had to something to do in God.
Yes.
But the world will draw you out.
Oh, you get that right.
And then you'll turn around and say, "The world is sin." So what's drawing you out then? The people, you know, because all that is in the world, it says in John, back to 1 John, is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And buddy, the pride of life.
Pride of life. You're absolutely right.
Said pride of life and what? Proud of my job, proud of my house, proud of my car, proud of my career, proud of my children, proud of my church, proud of my wife, proud of my husband, proud of my... And say, "Well, you tell me I can't be proud." You can be proud of all of those, but you have to always remember, how does it affect your relationship in God? How much... Is it to the point where you like being in the crowd with Jesus? You like being one of the 12? You like the respect that you get? You like the anointing that you have? You like the power that Jesus has given you by the Holy Spirit? You like the whole scene of traveling and coming into town and you're the notoriety. You love all of that. You love it so much that when it's time to do the will of God, you don't want it to end.
Yeah. Yep. That's true.
You have been drawn into
the world.
Yes. And said, well, how do you know you're drawn into the world? Because when Jesus looks like he has no power and the world is against him, you join the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they say, you were with Jesus, and you say, no, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world has overtaken
you. Yes.
That's all right.
But Peter is not a fornicator. Peter's not a thief. Peter's not a murderer. Peter's not a liar until then.
Well.
until then. He's.
Yeah.
But see, this is just it though. But when you get hooked up to the world, you'll lie.
I don't lie.
I've heard. Mm. I won't even go there on who I've heard lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll leave that where that is.
Yeah.
If it
suits your need.
If it looks like it's going to threaten your standing in the
world.
In the world. You'll won't tell the truth on a job application if it's going to threaten something in the world. I look at all the people who have VA and have all that, and they have all these, and I'm glad that I am very happy to know. Ellen Smith told me Ellen Jenkins got 100%. I'm not happy that anyone is sick. But I'm happy to know that the people I know who have 100% disability and whatever deserve it.
Yes.
I really am.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm the sort of person that if you keep telling me you have 100% and none of the people I know currently are like that, and one person kept saying, I got 100% disability, ain't nothing wrong with me, then there's something wrong with you.
You're a liar.
Yeah, you lied.
Somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
And you've bit off part of the world because the medical is the world.
Yes.
And the money is the world.
Yes.
And you wanted it.
Yes.
But I'm not happy that anyone is in any way disabled. But I am glad to know, and I honestly believe that everybody I know who has for whatever disability they have, they got it.
Yes.
And that's the way it should be. Because you're not going to sacrifice your place in God to get part of the
world. Yes.
Love not. So
that's all right, Bishop.
Let me read a little bit of this. Bear with me. I'll try and get it up on the screen in the future. Now is the judgment of this world, Jesus says in one place. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. That's what he said in John. Jesus utters these words at a key point. He enters Jerusalem, he's thronged by the crowds, and almost at once he's talked about laying down his life. And we have to ask ourselves, now he comes out with a great twofold statement. What, we ask ourselves, can it convey to those who just acclaimed him going out to meet him and accompany him home to on his ride? To most of them, his words, if they had any meaning, must have signified a complete reversal of their hopes. A lot of people wanted Jesus to be what? King on earth.
Yes.
Why was that? They loved
the world.
Yes.
Social system.
Indeed, the more discerning came to see them a forecasting of the actual circumstances of his death as a criminal. They didn't want to see that. He makes this point. Watchman, he says this. So the earth then is the scene of the crisis that we go through. It's the point of collision. What collision? The earth and the social system and the kingdom of
heaven.
It's where we have to make this choice that we would otherwise have. He talks about this. Let me get another point out of this because I only got about 3 more minutes. And I'll read a few of these. When we turn from the classic to the New Testament writers, we find that their uses of cosmos falls into 3 main groups. It's first used with the sense of the material universe. I talked about that earlier, the round world, this earth. For example, God that made the world and all things therein, the foundation of the world, he was in the world and the world was made by him. Go ye into all the world, it's referring to. The second usage is twofold. It is of the inhabitants of the world and the whole race of men alienated from God and thus hostile to the cause of Christ. In other words, when the world talks about all of us included, in one station when it talks about the world, and then it's referring to us completely. And then when it talks about, as it did Demas, having gone back into the world, mm-hmm. it's referring to the people who've left the Lord. Thirdly, it's worldly affairs, and I've been talking about those. Mm-hmm. I really like the point of having of talking about worldly affairs because it makes hypocrites of so many people. Mm-hmm. Whenever the only thing that you see in the world is worldly music, as you call it, and I'd like for some of us to ponder the question when we talk about worldly music. Where does the Star Spangled Banner fit into that? My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Where do they fit into that?
Really music.
What about Frosty the Snowman? Mm-hmm. How about Jingle Bells?
ABCs.
How about the ABC songs Ella Smith said?
Yeah.
You know, and so many others that you write. When it comes to music, and so when you put those old, then so what are you getting at? I'm saying to you that there's music that glorifies God, but I'm also saying to you, you can have a love of music and your song can be written with scriptures and verses, but what you're really loving is the music.
Music, yeah.
Not the worship, but
the music.
The music.
Yes.
And I see some people sometimes sing, and I can tell when they have stopped worshiping and they're loving the
music. Yeah.
They're crazy about their music.
Yes.
One way you know when you're crazy about your music is when you don't like anybody else's
music. Yeah.
It's your music or no music.
Yes.
You are really enraptured with your music.
Yes.
So, well, it glorifies God. It does. There are many things we do to glorify God. Peter has glorified God. Didn't he just glorify Jesus by telling him he's the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes.
But did that take away his love for the world?
No. Yeah. No.
Many of us have acknowledged a lot of things in our life, but here's the point, and I'll leave it there for tonight. Until Peter's love for the world takes him all the way to the point where he denies Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because he doesn't want to be on the outside looking in.
Yes.
And when everybody starts talking about Christ having lost his power and he's blasphemous and everything else, Peter decides, better join the other side.
Yeah.
Until he comes to a repentance.
Yes.
So, when does he repent and when is he Savior? When Jesus shows up in the resurrection. Yes. So, when Peter goes out and he repents and he asks the Lord to forgive him for denying him, that's true. But he has lost his faith in him.
Yes.
He doesn't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, anymore until he sees him after the resurrection. Then Jesus comes in and he breathes on them and they receive the Holy Ghost again. Even though Peter goes out and says, I'm sorry I denied him. I'm sorry I didn't recognize him. But Peter, and we talk about this is Peter's conversion, this is Peter's everything. Peter does not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Somebody's going to talk about this. They're going to say, well, Bishop Smith, I don't get it. When he got wet belly, he was telling God then that he was wrong. And everything. He doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God again until he sees him after the resurrection. Because when Mary comes back and says he is risen, all of them say she's crazy.
Yeah.
She saw a vision.
Yeah.
And they don't believe it. Why would they not believe it? Because they don't believe he's risen from the dead. If they don't believe in his resurrection, what have they stopped believing? That he is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah, that's right.
Until he shows up again and breathes on them. And they receive the Holy Ghost. And now they know. But now Peter is a changed person. He will never choose the world again over Christ. Won't happen.
Yeah.
Now he's changed. Many of us need to change so we will stop choosing the world. Oh, I didn't say we weren't saved. I didn't say we didn't have the Holy Ghost. And I didn't say we weren't in church for a million years. We still got this love of the world in us. And what and it hinders, slows down the ministry to a great degree. And like I said, it becomes very hypocritical because you look at other people and things that you look at other people's things that people do in the world that you are not attracted to, and you call those things worldly and say that they're sinners. And when it really comes down to it, if they are saved and got the Holy Ghost, yes, it might be worldly, but so are you. Because we can point things out about you.
Yes, sir.
That are very much of the world. I have gone into casinos to buffets. I actually thought it was pretty slick. Saved, sanctified, filled, Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, going to a casino. I'm just going to eat food. I mean, put myself in scripture and say, well, Paul says if you're in the marketplace, you know, and you eat something, don't ask where it came from. But a casino is not the marketplace.
Yeah.
You purposely go in there.
Yes.
And if it works for you, fine. But for me, you know what I decided? I don't even like to walk through the casino on a cruise ship. Because it's just not me. It's just not someplace I want to be.
Yep.
Not for the food, not for the music, not for the anything.
Yeah.
Because it is, down here on this bottom one, it's contrary to God. And there, and if it was the only place to eat, I could deal with it.
Yes.
But it's not.
Yeah.
Now, am I saying for somebody else not to go? Maybe it doesn't. Maybe you don't see the world like that.
Yeah.
But I do. I look at every, you know, when we were looking at people being worldly, now that I look at the world, I look at everything. I look at the art, which is how you dress and what you do. I watch how you carry yourself, your deportment. I look at all the things that you find that you hold dear.
Yeah.
I look and say, well, what are you doing, condemning everybody? I'm not condemning you at all. Not taking away your Holy Ghost or your salvation. What I am saying is that you're just as much in this world as everybody else is.
Yeah. That's true.
And what the difference is how does it affect your stand in God? That's the point. How does it affect your stand in God? See the one down there at the bottom says participants? Now see where it says mute? Blue at the bottom. Blue at the bottom. Thank you. Yes. There you go. Now you can click it off. The X in the corner up there. There you go. How does it affect your stand in God? Now, you have to decide that. Where does it affect you? How does it do it? Does your education draw you out of God? Where does it do it? But that is the world. Now there's much more that Washington talks about in it. It goes much more, but I'm gonna stop right there tonight. Do want you to remember three things. The world is three things. It's the planet, it's the people, it's the social system. The social system includes science, education, legal, financial, political, medical. All those are in the world. The arts, the fashions, the music. It's of the world. How you use it, where it stands in your life, is up to you. And we'll go from there next week.
That's praise all we else stand. Do with amen.
Amen.
Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your great grace, Lord. Lord, we ask you to wash us and cleanse us and keep us in Jesus' name. Lord, heal all those that are sick tonight.
Yes,
sir. Lord, I pray the word of God we would take the word of God and hide it deep in our hearts, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would learn to love not the world, oh God, neither the things that be of the world. Lord, that in our minds that we would learn that everything in the world, oh God, is enmity against God and brings us to a place where we are contrary to God. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll bless us and keep us and wash us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name.
Jesus'
name, God say
amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
I'll be back. If you don't have watching these books, Love Not the World, you